Hello and welcome to Game Brain, a podcast about our gaming group. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today on Game Brain are, in fact, there's two people, Jordan and Paul. Hi, Jordan and Paul.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hi, how are you? How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing sleepy. It's the late night record.
Late night podcast.
We're burning the 1033 oil.
We love a late night podcast. Actually, this may be one of the only ever late night podcast we've ever done. I think the latest one I ever did was like at 8:30 p.m.
Oh, wow.
Game Brain After Dark.
Yeah, Game Brain After Dark. It's a very exciting podcast, mainly because Jordan has a new haircut that looks ravishing.
Thank you so much.
He looks like he's a handsome devil.
A handsome, handsome devil.
Well done, well done.
He is. Jordan's already like 15 years younger than all of us, and now he looks like he's 20 years younger than us. So this actually, is a little hard.
Jordan is actually literally 20 years younger than me.
Well,
but at least I only look 20 years younger.
No, you do, even more. You don't look 20 years.
I know Jordan has a sage wise voice, but he's a youngin, and he's now he looks like a youngin.
Yeah, no.
Thank you very much.
I'm very jealous.
It was long overdue. My hair was way too long and messy, so I'm glad it was, I got it done.
It wasn't messy, but it was long, and you must feel very liberated.
I feel so good.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to express. I feel so good.
And the amount of privilege you have of just willingly cutting your hair short instead of being forced to have short hair.
That's true.
That's me. That's me. I'm talking about me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking about my emergent bald spot. So we were like, we're not going to go 2 weeks without a podcast. But the thing is that we've all been going in many different directions at once. I was just in New York for about a week. Paul, you were in Nashville, then you were doing stuff. Jordan, your schedule's been busy. So we haven't had a lot of plays in. Doesn't mean there's not games to talk about. Am I right?
That's right.
That is right.
Thank you. I was worried. Imagine if you said, no, that's wrong.
Yeah,
that's we shouldn't incorrect. Be podcasting. Well, first and foremost, thank you to everyone who voted in the selection process for the BGG Golden Geek Awards. We received a nomination for Best Podcast. So thank you very much for everyone who voted for us. And obviously, we would love your vote for the next phase, right? To hopefully win the whole thing. But obviously, you know, it's not. It's not expected. It's just it is an honor to be nominated.
But that said, good night, everyone. Thank you for
So that's been our podcast. No, we would love to. I mean, there's great podcasts that we're nominated along with. So it's a wonderful field. You know, very excited for everyone. It is great to be nominated with all these great content creators. And to that effect, we thought, it'd be fun because it wasn't just podcasts that were nominated. There was a whole bunch of board games. Like, why don't we go through these categories and weigh in on like our favorites in there?
Yeah,
you know, maybe some omissions if something come to mind. But like, we're kind of just gonna wing it. We're just gonna go through. We're not obviously gonna go through the podcast category because that would be. That'd be so awful.
Let's just start off with it. You know, okay. You know what, Ben?
The podcast category. I think this Game Brain podcast is great.
I think it has wings. It's something coming.
You know, as I think we are the preeminent podcast to focus on finger etiquette.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised we're not talking about bags right now.
Yeah, you know. But actually, before we get into talking about like the BGG noms and like our picks or whatever. Have there been any games that have been like particularly on your brain or recent plays that you would like to talk about?
I am playing a campaign of Arcs. I'm two games in. I'm not sure if I talked about the campaign aspect on the podcast when we did talk about. Okay, then suffice to say...
Space Game. Remember our last episode was Space Games.
Yeah, it's very much on my brain. So, you know, now
you're in the campaign. Last time you were not in the campaign.
Right,
you're in.
So we're two games into a campaign now. We've been playing on TTS. It's fascinating the way the game can shift to accommodate these very different roles and their progression in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, it's wonderful. I think it's such a great space to explore. It's so cool.
Pun intended.
And at the end of your, at the end of your first chapter of the game, one of the three games you play, you have to make a decision to stick with your current fate or abandon it. Or if you failed to meet its goals, you must abandon it. but there's like still podcast, yeah. You leave a mark. You leave a mark.
I wasn't dissing us. I was just saying how, you know, we change things up.
Yeah. Anyway, you leave a mark on the world when you leave, even if you change paths. Right. There are still remainders of like what you did and what that faction was. And so at the end of the game, if you have four starting roles and, you know, you change twice, you know, there are 12 different asymmetric factions that had an impact on the space. It's really cool. So
that's
I'm excited
cool.
to play more of that. Yeah.
You know, by the way, sort of piggybacking and sort of how you have an ARX update, I feel like we have a little Galactic Cruise update, which that's is that true. since the space game episode, we played some Galactic Cruise on TTS. It was the two of us. It was Drew and Jason, and we played a four-player TTS game. We didn't really finish, and Drew had to back out like midway through, or like three quarters of the way through, because it was like midnight.
It got late, yeah.
You were under the weather, yeah. And so it wasn't like a real play, but it was definitely a play where you get the sense of it. I have to say, I really enjoyed it so much more at four players. Like, I think the last podcast I reported, the two players was fun, but it felt a little loosey-goosey and open. And I felt like there was a huge amount of interaction. I felt like there was a lot of like joking about like, why don't you come here and bump me? Da, 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 da. So I really enjoyed our play, even though it was very kind of like wonky. What did you think? Sort of first impressions of a TTS wonky play of Galactic Cruise?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought there were some interesting aspects around the worker placement and around the ship construction. And it was also cool the way you could really push the envelope and develop your ship way beyond the sort of limits that are prescribed. Like at the beginning of the game, it's like you can have three ships and they can be three segments, so they can basically hold two passengers. But at the end of the game, Jason had like a five segment ship and I had a ship that had like six passengers on it. So you can really push the envelope in interesting ways. That part felt really cool.
Yeah. You had like, and you were very late to take off, but then you came roaring back with the points. Again, like it was wonky. Someone wasn't playing. And then, you know, I think at a certain point we just kind of were really getting loosey-goosey. Yeah. But I was really so happy to get a richer experience out of it than the first time. The first time was fun and nice, but I was like, oh, it felt a little rote. I felt like I was just doing the same things over and over, where this time it felt like the interaction felt really alive to me in a way that I appreciated. So, yeah.
And I can imagine the plays will feel very different when you get different action pairings.
Yeah. I'm officially excited for it now.
Yeah.
I think it was a good one.
I do have one more game I could mention.
Yes, briefly. Please.
I played, I actually have two. I played a game of Ironwood, which is the next Mind Clash game.
Yeah. What is Ironwood? Because you put it on your thing that you're interested in, and I had never even heard of it. I was like, isn't that like a Meryl Streep movie? That's Silkwood. Sorry.
It's actually the sequel to Silkwood.
No, but wasn't there a movie that came out around that time called Ironwood?
No, it was Silkwood.
There was Silkwood. Wasn't there Iron something?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. Silkwood.
There might be a movie with iron in the title. You might be onto something.
I feel like at like the same time, there was like a movie. Yeah.
If only we had like the access to the entirety of the human collective information.
Paul, I feel like as a person who works in film,
that's you right.
would be able to back me up on my potentially not existing movie.
Well, Ben definitely does not Google this. I'm just mention that Ironwood.
There was a movie called Ironwood. Wait, no. There was a movie called there was a movie called Ironwood in 2017, but the one I was thinking of was Ironweed.
Oh, well, that's completely different.
Ironweed with Meryl Streep.
Wow.
Which came right out in 1987.
Oh, is this the one where like the world is
Jack Nicholson
is deforested and now only like metallic weeds exist in the world? No, that's probably not.
You're thinking of Sophie's Choice.
That's right, Sophie's Choice.
Well, when did Silkwood came out in 1983? Really?
I thought it was 4 years before Ironweed.
Wow. Well, take Silkwood and Ironweed, put them together, and you've got a Mind Clash game.
Yes, a Mind Clash game on Silkweed. The Let's Play line, which
take
is
two Meryl Streep
movies. That's right.
Okay, I'll let you talk.
No, it's okay. Let's keep going.
Okay, tell us about Ironwood.
It's the next game in their Let's Play line, which started with Astra. So it's a smaller rule set. It only takes like an hour to play. It's a card battler game with asymmetric factions. I wrote about it in the Discord, so you can look at our Discord there and see my thoughts. But it was fun. I'm excited to play some more. It seems like a cool little card battler for people who don't want to build decks or you know, get too into that space because it's just a box. You just open it and start playing.
So it's actually like out. This was not TTS. This was like a physical copy.
Physical copy, a pre-production copy. Ooh. Or ooh. I think it was like not quite final. So there might have been some tweaks that I played with a friend who had access to that.
That's fantastic.
Now I'm realizing I'm not sure if I should mention.
So. Yeah, and yet.
It's not been a real game.
Here we are. Here we are.
Silkweed.
That's right.
You may need to take a shower after That's a reference to something.
To Silkweed or something?
Silkwood.
Silkwood. Silkweed is the sequel to the Iron Clash. Can't people keep up? Mind Clash games are Mind Clash games. What? Ironwood and Silkweed are Meryl Streep movies.
I think Minecraft is going to do a series of Meryl Streep movie games.
Yeah. like the Witches of Prada.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Okay, cool. So Iron. Now I'm like about to say Ironweed. Ironwood.
Ironwood. Would recommend looking into it.
Okay, people should start putting it on their radars. You enjoyed your initial play of it.
Yes.
So I obviously have not gotten any plays in. I'm continuing to play some City of the Big Shoulders online and some various 18XX games. However, when I was in New York, I did pay a visit to the Complete Strategist, which is like one of the great board game stores of the city.
Used to be my friendly local game store.
Used to be Jordan's. And now...
Am I interrupting you, Ben?
That sounded so... Like, I was right. So ridiculing you.
It sounds like a car song. I didn't even mean it to sound like that. My best friend's girl.
No, I meant like Jordan used to go there. Tom also loves talking about it. He went there. He said he always used to go there. So I went in there. I dragged my boyfriend. That's good boyfriend right there. I dragged him into the Complete Strategist, and there was a little chair right at the front, and he took a seat in there while I walked around and looked for things. I almost bought a copy of Come Together, which I've been curious about for like a year and a half, which is same designers as I think like Revive, like those. Those designers, like I think they're like Norwegian, Santa Maria, Automania. I think they've done a lot of those games. Maybe the Majestic even, and Come Together is kind of like putting on a music festival.
Sure, sounds like it.
Like Woodstock or Coachella, but I think it's very psychedelic. So I think it's like a 60s era. Mm-hmm. And I really want to, I've been so curious about it. I've been wanting to buy it. But I didn't buy it because I had concerns about like actually being able to bring a board game back in my luggage. But
hence the bag talk.
I know I've been like very bag curious lately because I'm going to Europe and I'm like very concerned about my personal item. Sure. And I want to make sure I can get a bag that maximizes the personal item space below the seat in front of me.
Like Ben is being very demure. I've heard an earful all day today about the pluses and minuses of bag design. It's a lot.
Like it's more than you can even imagine. And Paul's like really a champion for it. I literally, but Jordan, before you got here, I was monologuing shockingly about like bag design, and Paul's like, So anyway, wow. I didn't.
Do you want to repeat it here for our listeners?
So here's the thing: you really want a 30-liter bag.
Okay.
No. So anyway, I was like, I really want this game. I just don't, in good faith, believe I can fit this into my luggage.
Sure, I love it. I love that. That's the criteria. As sure, far as,
like, it kind of is. Like sometimes you just have to like pull yourself aside and say, "Don't do this." But I did. I did buy two games.
Oh.
I bought the Salton Sea, which is the new Devere game. Devere did the White Castle and the Red Cathedral. They also did Botoku, but I've mentioned those two because they're small box games, and that's same as the Salton Sea. The Salton Sea seems to be getting mixed reviews.
Okay.
But those who have not liked it have tended to be people who I have not always aligned with when it comes to these kind of games. So I feel okay with them being not into it. And it's like it's an economic game wherein you're going to the Salton Sea, which is a body of water here in Southern California, and you are mining it for lithium. You're basically trying to do some sort of geothermal mining for lithium, because lithium can be used in batteries. It's got like an environmentalist theme, and the idea is that you then sell this stuff, you make money off of it, you can buy shares in these mining companies, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you hear all the buzzwords that get me excited, you know. Cool. And the shtick of the game is that you accumulate cards that you can use as like action cards. They sort of like become, you can put them down, they become your own personal like worker placement spots.
Sure.
But the cards also are your money. So for every card that you use as like a worker placement spot, on the other side, it might say $5 or $1 or whatever. So anytime you pay for things, you're paying with these cards. So you're effectively
throwing away actions.
Yeah, you're throwing away actions to pay for things, which is sort of in that Nucleum space.
Like a good tension for you.
Yeah. So it just, it seems really interesting. I love that it's in that small kind of box. Mm-hmm. And I just decided like, and it's also like relatively cheap for a board game. It's like $40. So
nice. Sure.
I just got it.
You did it.
I'm excited to play that and see if it's a gem or not a gem. The other game I got is something called Hollywood 1947. I feel like, Jordan, you may have heard of it.
I've played two of the other games in that series, which are those relatively small Tortuga. Boxes. Oh, no. Never mind. Sorry. No, I was thinking it was in the channel.
Oh, like the 19XX.
Yeah. But it's not that.
I do have a 19XX game that I'm really excited to play. But
there was actually a Hollywood one, right? 1907 Hollywood or something?
I think there might be one. The game I have is 1930, the golden era of airlines.
Is that, that's the title?
That's the title. Okay. It's a big box.
Oh.
But it's called 1930. I don't know if it counts as one of those little boxes.
Cool. Okay, we'll talk about what you were talking about.
That game, by the way, the golden era of airlines, I'm really excited to play it. It's sort of like, it's been described kind of almost like a cube rails game with some 18XX elements. Anyway, yada, yada, yada. That one seems cool. But Hollywood 1947 is like the same, in that same line of social deduction-ish games like Tortuga. And there's another one called Bristol something, and then Salem something or another. And I heard that Hollywood is really good. And basically, some people are hidden communists in Hollywood. And they're trying to put forward movies that have communist undertones.
Love it, love it.
We're trying to, I guess.
Wow, so it buys into that premise that. You know, that's funny. Look, we need to find them.
Yeah. We got to find the communists. Yeah,
that's great.
So I'm really excited to try that one out, too. So
cool.
Those are like the games. Oh, and then El Burro arrived.
Twice.
El Burro.
Twice. I got two copies of El Burro for some reason.
Oh. What's El Burro?
El Burro is the sequel to La Granja, which is a great midweight Euro from like around 2013 or 14. The designer went and kind of it's called a La Granja game, took a lot of the concepts of La Granja and just added some stuff to it. It's heavier. Some things are refined, some things are streamlined, some things are new. Really, really excited to play that.
Oh, cool.
You ever play La Granja?
No, but I've wanted to.
It's fantastic. Paul, you've played it though, right?
I probably have. I don't know it as such, but like if you put the board in front of me, I probably have an idea.
It takes place in Mallorca, and there's donkeys, and there's a siesta track. Does that sound familiar to you?
No, then I probably haven't, because I think I would remember a siesta track.
Doing a great job getting our way towards that Golden Geek win right now.
There you go.
That's right.
Anyway, we'll probably circle back to one, if not all of these games at some point, mm-hmm. but definitely excited for El Burro, and that's one that's like, I know that Elder really wants to play, and I'm really excited to get that one to the table. But anyway, cool. Those are the games that we've been thinking about. I think let's get into these nominations, shall we?
I'm a person.
Have you gotten to play? I feel like you haven't. I thought you hadn't played anything.
I haven't played anything, but I have thought about some things.
Okay.
So the first thing was my brother-in-law's girlfriend asked if there was anything that I would want to teach for an after-school special thing.
Okay.
And I was thinking, what would I do? And I thought, like, what if I taught like a 8-week Avalon course to a bunch of 8th graders?
Ooh, I love that.
Do you? Because I was thinking about traders.
Yeah.
I think this would be the way to do it.
An 8-week Avalon course?
It's like 45 minutes, what you call it? 45 minutes a week.
Does it be like 45 minutes theory?
Is it just you play the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And teaching them, and then teaching them game brain Avalon.
Wait, would it be like you teach lessons first and then you play the game?
That's how I would do it.
That makes sense, but I feel like there's not that much content.
No, I think there's so much. I think with social deduction, I mean, think about like when someone does this, I don't know, like you could break it down in so many different ways.
Yeah, I'm asking the podcast, you know, what do you guys think? Because I might pitch it to, you know, her. That's one thing.
I think it would be really fun for the kids to get to play Avalon 8 times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be cool.
I think the question is this, like, do you think a class would be built around specific theory and like specific meta, like, okay, this class is about the voting with like voting for your team. This is the class. This is like this class is about when do you fail, when do you pass. This one's about what do you look for from launching. Or is it more like larger academic themes that then drill down into Avalon? So yeah, like
where do
the
you
idea
start?
Of lying, the idea of sussing people out.
I think there'll be all that. Like, you know, you start with the rule set and then you go into logic. This person can't be X because this person, you know, and okay. Then from that basis, then you go into incomplete information. Now you gotta go with your reads. What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. It's like poker, right? Where you have some actual information and some incomplete information. And through your experience, and personhood and character and virtues, like, you know, you are able to divine various informations.
It's interesting. I feel like if I were to think of where to start, because for me, even now when I play Avalon with you guys, I feel like there isn't actually any information or very, very little, mm-hmm. which I know you all disagree with. But I would start with the strategy of like, okay, how do you hide? Okay, everyone has to play basic blue. Okay, now when do you diverge from basic blue?
And all that would be in the progression of that. Yeah. I think first you do the rule set, you let them play once or twice to get the feel. And then like you go like, oh, now consider this.
Well, and then the question is this. Do you have, after you play your game, there? I feel like there then would be a, okay, now let's look back at the game that we had and
the postmortem.
So it would be sort of like a three-part class. Every class would be three-part section, mm-hmm. right? Because the first part would be
lesson
a combination of like talking about like the theory of something mm-hmm. and then also then the practical execution mm-hmm. of this theory in terms of like how you would apply it to Avalon. Then you play the game and then you say, okay, here's how you did or how you didn't do. Sure.
Not to be a boat beating on against the current, but I feel like you would get a lot richer of an experience teaching Blood on the Clock Tower.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because there's so much more logic that you can teach the kids use.
Actually, though, not to be a boat pushing back on your current.
What's that? I think there's a boat pushing on the current.
There's a lot of boats in the currents. Yeah. I would say I think there's room. I would start with Avalon, and the reason why is just because it's actually a simpler game. I think that you want to just start with something that's a little bit more bare bones, and then you can start to work your way up. Like, you know, you need to have your freshman seminar. You have your intro to computer science, and then you get into
here's what math is.
Right, and then I think like Blood on the Collector, and it's no shade to Blood on the Collector, but there are more moving parts, and there's like more stuff to get sort of like distracted by, I think. And I think the way you do it is you start with something like that, and then you add on. You probably could teach a college course on social deduction.
I think that'd be great.
I think that'd be a really fun class because I think there's interesting things about human behavior that come out of it.
Sure, sure.
I did TA a class, well, first took and then TA'd a class that had a component that was mock Congress.
Oh, wow.
It was a little bit different, but everyone was given like a congressman to role play mm-hmm. and everyone had different voting powers and all this crazy stuff. And it was super fun. I feel like getting kids involved in that sort of experiment where they can just, you know, get fully in with their classmates and do something really different is cool. So, yeah, I would recommend it.
Okay, anyway. Very good.
So, are you going to do it?
I'm thinking about it. Like,
you could probably just teach this class as a thing.
Like, I've been toying with making a tutorial and put it on YouTube of how to play Game Brain Avalon. Mm. But like, you know, I've just been too lazy.
Yeah, oh, that's hard because, you know, whenever you do a tutorial, it involves a certain amount of like production, yeah, right?
Exactly.
And that's like a lot, and it can be annoying, you know.
So, secondly, the last game I played was Twilight Imperium.
And you haven't been able to talk about that on the show yet.
Yeah, yeah. Like the game that I almost won.
Yeah.
That's but I don't want to rehash a bunch of stuff.
Are you ready to reopen the trauma?
Because it's so good. It's my treasure. I keep it. It's my precious. But that said, it made me think of Age of Steam and Railways of the World. where you have always been a strong advocate of Age of Steam, and I've played both.
I've played both,
and I like both, but I prefer Age of Steam. And I think about Eclipse and Twilight Imperium, and I think I'm a Twilight Imperium person. I think in the end, what I've come to realize with my two plays is that, like, despite the fact that Twilight Imperium takes a lot longer, like, it gets to what it is quicker in a way that you know, whereas what Railways of the World is and what Age of Steam is, they're different things. But I think in Eclipse and in Twilight Imperium, I think they're aiming for the same thing, same experience. It's just that Eclipse adds this Euro component,
right?
That it's basically, oh, do all this like 4X stuff plus do a little math,
right? And budget stuff.
It's counter to the experience
in a way, which I feel like in the beginning I'm really into, but in the end, like, you know, that side math, you know, winds up detracting from the actual experience that I want. So
that's an interesting point. I mean, with Eclipse, you know, I've enjoyed. It's okay that Paul is drinking from a water bottle. Everyone, let's just
give him an elephant. Witness
the elephant in the room.
That's right.
There was a water bottle sound. I like Eclipse. I feel like I've sort of developed this reputation of being like, I hate Eclipse. I don't hate Eclipse. I enjoy it. And I think that the tech tree is super fun and the building of the ships is really, like, that is fantastic. But I've never had the joy with Eclipse that I've had with Twilight Imperium and
Forbidden Stars.
Yeah. Or honestly, even my one play of Dune last year, I thought was super fun. And I think that what you're saying is a really salient point, which is that, like, getting to what it is. And I think that Twilight Imperium and Forbidden Stars and Dune get to that, like, you sort of get, it's that merger of, like, theme and mechanics. Like, you just feel like you're this race doing things, trying to survive and trying to, you know,
Eclipse,
beat back a virus.
Eclipse isn't good at only one thing. Right, it wants to be Twilight Imperium and a Euro, and it doesn't succeed at either particularly well.
I mean, I don't know. Like, without playing Twilight Imperium, I thought Eclipse was great, and I played it all the time when I could. I think what I realized when playing Twilight Imperium 13 hours later times two is that, like, oh, both games, they shine when they're off the board. You know, when they get off the board and it becomes the social.
Yeah.
And the math of Eclipse kind of keeps it on the board a bit in a way that...
Great point.
Where I go like, oh, this is why we don't play Eclipse. We only play Eclipse once a year because you just have to be in it for that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to accept that. Whereas, like, I go like, oh, I could play Twilight Imperium like once a month.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've never gotten my Eclipse plays really off the board. Mm-hmm. And now that I have Voidfall, which I think is a great Euro space game that lets you think about those math problems better, I'm planning to sell my copy of Eclipse because I feel like they all exist on a spectrum of Voidfall, Eclipse, Twilight Imperium. Right, sure. And I'm happier with the two poles.
Right,
I don't really want what's in the middle.
If you're going to be on the board, you'd rather have the Voidfall board.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because the Eclipse, like, I just find that, like, sometimes I can just get tangled up in that puzzle. And, like, and you can make an argument that that's not the games, but that's, you know, like, part of sometimes with games you have to learn the systems and you learn it, and that's what Age of Steam is like too. You fall into the traps. That's life. And, you know, but I found that, like, there was something about, like, the battles, and then you, like, draw out these tokens. It's like, oh, I got 3 points for this battle. I don't know, like, it was, there's just something kind of, like, anticlimactic about a lot of it.
Like, in our lore of Game Brain, Eclipse came out pretty early in our Game Brain experience, and it had a huge monumental moment. Is where we're playing, and, like, it was probably game two or something, and I was playing Plants, Dimitri's playing, you know, the War faction, and Tom was playing It Doesn't Matter. But towards the end, Dimitri decides to not attack me. And Tom just loses it and yells at Dimitri. Just like, just lays into him. Blah, 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 blah. Like, and it doesn't happen very often. When it does, mwah, chef's kiss. And then Dimitri wins.
No.
Oh, wow.
And then it was just so hilarious. It was so, so hilarious. Yeah. So, like, I think in some ways, if I look back, we're probably trying to capture some moments of that so that we didn't, maybe I didn't see it as clearly. I didn't have the experience of Twilight Imperium.
I feel like, you know what it is? Like, I feel like reliably Twilight Imperium has those moments.
But I
like
will also
every single time, there's always something. And it's not just like, we obviously, we talked about, like, we were like, Jordan and I were basically like, you know, in like a hot, cold war, but like, or just a hot, hot war. But like, you know, it's not always, the moments are not always tense like that. It's sure. The moments are like something chaotic happens. Mm-hmm. There's a battle. I mean, I thought that our game had like blockbuster moment after blockbuster moment after blockbuster moment. It was like, I felt like there was something dramatic happening.
Sure. It was a Game of Thrones season.
Like, what'd you say?
It was a Game of Thrones season.
It felt like it. Yeah. It felt like there was twists and turns. It was 13 hours, but it felt like there was always something happening.
So a little longer than a Game of Thrones season.
With a better ending. But yeah, and I feel like with Eclipse, I don't know if you're always guaranteed to have drama.
I think I don't know what Twilight Imperium 1 through 3 were. So like, you know, like
I've only played 3. I've never played 1.
So I don't know if 4 is the new sweet spot or whatever, but like I found my experience all the crap that Tom and Trey have
Trey's played it.
No, it's not played. I think Tom has spewed on Twilight Imperium. I don't think it's deserved on 4.
Yeah.
And I want to give a shout out to Space Cats Peace Turtles, which I'm going to check now to see if they're nominated for Best Podcast. But
you did mention this podcast.
They only cover Twilight Imperium. Actually, now they cover Twilight Imperium and Arx. Those are their two games. Shit. But for the past 3 years or so, I think, they've only covered Twilight Imperium in deep, deep depth. It's really fascinating. And that game supports it. And I feel like Eclipse, I mean, how much time do you really need to talk about the Planta or whatever?
Right.
Probably not that much, you know?
I would love to play have more plays of Twilight Imperium and just a 3 or 4 player count. I it's fun to get 5 or 6 players, but I would like to sort of like normalize the Twilight Imperium game, like a normal 4-player game. Let's just play it.
Yeah.
Or see how far we get, you know, like I think that there's a lot to explore there. And why should we have to wait till we have a full table, you know,
because it's probably better at full table.
It probably is. But I've not played it at 3 and I played Twilight Imperium 3 with 4 players and fun at all counts. I've played it at so far. Yeah. I'm really glad, Paul, that you've been it's clicking with you.
Well, no, it's just a matter of you're just honest with yourself. You're like, here's what, you know, I used to really like this game. I no longer need to play it.
Yeah. I have a hard time. I have a hard time coming to terms with the fact that there was a game a game that I used to really love. I'm only like, okay with now. I really can't. I'm like, but our history, you know, I can't get there. I'm like, but I can't get rid of this game.
It's like a Marie Kondo moment. Like, you know, you go like, thank you for, you know, like,
it's like a t-shirt.
And then you go like, and like, oh,
I know. I don't know if it's really hard for me to do that. Okay. But let's talk about these nominations, shall we?
Let's talk about these nominations.
All right. So there's a bunch of categories. I feel like we don't have to go into like all the categories and we don't have to go super in depth with all of them. Although I think I'd rather, I think when we get to like the light, medium and heavy games, I'd like to sort of be a little bit more like
sure.
chatty there, but why don't we start? We'll just go in the order on the website.
Great.
2-player games. I don't know if I have too many opinions on these. Okay. Here are the nominations real quickly. Or do you want to read the nominations, Jordan, for 2-player games?
Sure. And the nominees are Boop. Disney or
it's not Boop.
It's not Boop. Boop.
It's Boop.
Boop.
There's
which I have not played.
There's 4 O's in the there's 4 O's and 2 of them like the 2 of them are capitalized. So I was trying to really convey the choices.
Okay.
There were choices. My reading glasses are on now. The choices were made in it's Boop.
Yeah, it does have a period at the end.
Okay.
We can continue, guys.
Disney Lorcana or Lorcana. Uh-huh. Dracula vs. Van Helsing. Lacuna. Star Wars The Deck Building Game. Undaunted Battle of Britain. Sky Team. Oranienburger Canal. The British Way. And Sail.
Have either of you guys played any of these games?
I've played about half of them.
I've played Sky
Team?
Yeah, with you.
Yeah.
I watched
we landed the plane.
I watched you guys.
We played an easy one.
We solved it.
Yeah.
I have not played any of these games. I own Sky Team. I've watched you guys play. I've dreamt of someday playing Sky Team. But I haven't played it. But I would have to say, for me personally, based... The best I could do.
I haven't played any of these games, but Sky Team number one.
Sky Team is number one. Okay, for sure. Because I love the theme so much. I'm automatically saying it's number one.
But I suspect it's going to be Star Wars.
You think it's
gonna
be
no? Star I think Wars? It's going to be Sky Team.
I think really, it's Sky Team.
Okay, really.
I mean, Sky Team was really well reviewed. I think it's great too.
I think it's great. Like, you know, yeah. I only play the best, and then I just.
This is not, by the way, Star Wars Unlimited, the card game that Trey and I are interested
in. Oh, okay.
This is Star Wars the deck building game.
Oh, then.
So it's a standalone box.
Then I misspoke.
Okay. Does Undaunted Battle of Britain? I mean, I love the Undaunted series.
I haven't played Battle of Britain yet.
Yeah, but I haven't played. I've always enjoyed Undaunted.
And then Oranienburger Canal. I think it doesn't have a wide distribution, which may go against it, but there are people on our Discord who really vouch for it.
I really want to play it. I've heard it's great. Matt has a copy, But they're also reprinting it next year, I think.
Okay.
So it's coming.
It looks fun. I would actually like to play
it. We should have Matt, and he could podcast from South Africa.
Oh, my God. So we're going to say we think that Sky Team will probably win this?
Yeah. Just a few other quick shout-outs, though.
Shout-out.
Sail is a really fun cooperative trick-taking game that I've played a lot with my partner.
Okay.
It's super fun. It's a really clever trick-taking system. And then Lacuna is like a fun little abstract that Shut Up and Sit Down reviewed, so you can always check out their review if you're curious about it.
Cool.
Okay, cool. I mean, by the way, Disney Lorcana, super popular. That could be a thing.
That game uses the same sort of base mechanisms as Star Wars Unlimited, but has way less depth, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I played it, and I don't
I played Star Wars Unlimited, right?
Yeah, you played it with David, right?
Yeah. I lost.
So
no wonder you tried to forget.
So I think our prediction, my prediction is Sky Team is going to win.
I think so too.
Sky Team. Me Sky too. Team.
Paul, thank you for your insight. Okay, artwork and presentation. This is a really fun category. All right, I'm going to go through these. I have already done some voting, so my reading them is going to be out of order than they are on the site. So,
sure.
But whatever. Deliverance, Distilled, Earth, Earthborn Rangers, Expeditions, Forest Shuffle, Septima, Darwin's Journey, Voidfall, The Castles of Burgundy Special Edition, and Apiary. Well,
interesting.
This is artwork and presentation, Paul. Do any of those?
Yeah, like I think if I had to choose I've played about four of them. I think Darwin is my answer.
Mm.
I think Darwin has a, you know, I actually think that, like, you know, when I look at Darwin, I go like, is this, it reminds me of Indonesia in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a beautiful, presentation. I don't always know if it's like, if it's too busy or mm-hmm. if it's as functional, but I think as far as if it's artwork, I'd pick that.
Yeah. Jordan, what about you? I heard Earthborn Rangers has beautiful art, but I have not played it.
So Earthborn Rangers does have beautiful art. And it was my second choice. I really love the art. In particular, the way they use different styles of art for different types of cards. Like, there are some cards that are your memories that you're playing, and they have this sort of, like, pencil, stenciled style. And then there are some that are, you know, tech pieces that you're using, and they're drawn in, like, blueprints. So the art's really great in Earthborn Rangers. But my pick's actually Voidfall.
Yeah, I think he's going to say that.
And the reason is because, A, the art is beautiful, but also... it's so usable. Like, the iconography is amazing in Voidfall.
It is.
And I think it deserves the props for that. And the components are top notch. And the Earthborn components are nice, but they're just cards. They're not as, like, you know, wildly off the, you know, off the top, whatever.
So Paul's favorite art in this case is Darwin's Journey. Yours is Voidfall. What do you think mine is?
Is it going to be Septima?
It is. I chose Septima. I thought Septima's art was beautiful. It could probably maybe like it could probably get a demerit for maybe some readability issues. I don't seem to actually remember having any issues on that front, mm-hmm. but I could imagine some people might. But I thought Septima's art was beautiful in a way that was different than most quote unquote beautiful games.
Sure.
Like I thought Voidfall was gorgeous, but it was also very, Ian O'Toole did that, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, it was gorgeous, but it's also like, it's more gorgeous art from Ian O'Toole, which is not a slam. It's just like, it's like we've seen it before in a way that I mean, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Sure.
And I thought Darwin Jr. was gorgeous. That was Darwin Jr. was my number two. But Septima, I felt like, had this sort of like folk art look
sure.
that I found to be very, I thought it just set a tone. It was just like wonderful. Yeah, no. I love the art in Septima.
Like, if we know anything, is that art is objective.
Yes.
There is a right answer.
What do you guys, have any thoughts on what might win this category?
Earth is very popular as a game, and I feel like sometimes these votes just devolve into which game do you like the best.
Or it's also like sometimes like you vote for the games that you just have played, because not everyone has played Earthborn Rangers, or definitely not everyone's played Septima.
So. Yeah.
So
could also be Castles of Burgundy.
Yeah. Burgundy is nice.
And Apiary is also in the mix. No.
I love the apes. I mean, bees. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Space.
All right. Let's move on.
Is Apiary a space game?
Actually, some people asked that. Actually, wait, I asked that. I asked that on our little Instagram thing.
What were the results?
I don't remember, but I would not have put it as a space game.
Okay, personally. Fair enough.
Let's go on to cooperative game. All right, cooperative game. Oh, I had not played any of these. Okay, here we go. Actually, Jordan, you can do these. Paul, if you bring up the nominations, you can read the nominees too.
I don't read very well.
All right. If you're wondering why Paul is not reading the nominations, it's just because...
He doesn't read well.
He doesn't have it up.
The Art Project, Daybreak, Deliverance, Kinfire Chronicles, Night's Fall. I don't read well either. Marvel Zombies, a Zombicide game. Unmatched Adventures, Tales to Amaze. Earthborn Rangers, Sail, Sky Team, and Sleeping Gods, Distant Skies. Sky Team's probably going to win. Earthborn's my favorite. We've sort of talked about it, though.
Yeah. I haven't played any of these. I'm just gonna. I will put my vote behind Sky Team on spec. But well, I
will say, like, Sky Team, like I talk about this all the time, right? It gets to what it is very quick. It is round one. It's there. You're there. You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. I cannot wait to play it. Okay, so we're all gonna say Sky Team, and we all think that Sky Team will win with an outside chance, maybe for Earthborn Rangers, because it's super popular right now. Okay, let's go to expansion. Okay, interesting. So expansions. We have Ark Nova, Marine Worlds, Beyond the Sun, Leaders of the New Dawn, Botoku, Resutoron.
I didn't really realize that Botoku had an expansion.
I feel like it's already expanded enough in my mind. It's already taken up a good amount of my mind.
All right, too much rent.
It's already... Actually, it's taken up... literally zero space in my mind. Cascadia, Landmarks, Darwin's Journey, Fireland Expansion, Lost Ruins of Arnak, The Missing Expedition, Return to the Dark Tower, Covenant, Sea Salts and Paper, Extra Salts, Spirit Island, Nature Incarnate, Tapestry, Fantasies and Futures. I, again, have not played any of these, but I've heard the Lost Ruins of Arnak expansion's good, actually.
Yeah, that's what would be my guess, too. I have not played any of them either, but... Arnak is so expandable.
I think it's going to be the Ark Nova expansion.
Probably will be. Have you played that
expansion? I have. It's good.
How is it? Aside from the fact that it adds marine animals.
So the best, it adds marine animals. The best thing it adds is, you know, the action cards that you have at mm-hmm, the sort mm-hmm. of base? You get, I think, two special ones that are unique to you, and it's a draft at the beginning of the game. So you play these asymmetric actions in addition to the asymmetric boards. That part is really cool.
Wow. That's
my favorite part of that.
So, like, you draft them, you say?
I mean, you could just do it randomly, but I think you can draft them, yeah. So maybe you deal out three or four to each player, and then you get down to three or something, and then you keep two of them. I don't know exactly how it works.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that might... I mean, Ark Nova is so popular.
Ark Nova is very popular. But a general note, we don't play a lot of expansions, I feel like. I haven't played almost any of these.
Well, do you know, like, a little-known game... that had expansion that really changed it was Tribune.
I heard it was only an okay game, and then the expansion. I heard it was the best expansion of all time.
Have you guys heard of Tribune?
Well, actually, we played.
Can you tell me about it?
We played Twilight Imperium with the Prophecy of the Kings expansion.
Maybe it's just games that we get really big into will expand, but otherwise we won't.
I feel like I actually play with expansions quite often. I think that just this crop I've not played. I actually am intrigued by Beyond the Sun, Leaders of the New Dawn, because I like Beyond the Sun. But I feel like it sort of is missing an X factor, and maybe this might be an expansion to fix it.
It's all tech track. Yeah, like I missed that train. Oh. I missed that shuttle.
It's a fun game.
I would like to revisit it because I also only really played it online, and I actually own the game, and I've never played the physical copy. So I would actually like to revisit that because I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I wanted something more visceral from it or something.
I've been meaning to go back to that one too.
Cool. Well, maybe we'll do some research on this expansion and see what it does. So we are going to say Ark Nova will probably win that. Okay, now here's a good category. Oh, I'm excited for this one. Jordan, will you do the honors for Innovative? The category is Innovative.
And the nominees are Apiary, Daybreak, Deliverance, Far Away, Ticket to Ride Legacy Legends of the West, Earthborn Rangers, Station Fall, Voidfall, Kutna Aura, the City of Silver, Sky Team, and Hegemony, Lead Your Class to Victory. Ben, what are you going to pick?
Well, you know what's so interesting? Obviously, I picked Hegemony as my number one, but is Hegemony the most, is it the most innovative?
No, it's not.
I don't know if it's the most innovative.
I think it's
innovative. I don't know if it's the... Is it Kutna Hora? Kutna Hora is my number two, but now I'm starting to think that maybe Kutna Hora is my number one.
Fascinating. I don't think it's either of those. But that's interesting. What do you feel is innovative? Of course
not, because Voidfall's on the list.
No, Jordan. But Voidfall's not the most innovative either. I think it's Earthborn and number two, Stationfall, I think.
Yeah, I would say Stationfall myself.
I haven't played Earthborn, so I can't comment on that.
But you've played Stationfall, right?
I played it once. Yeah. I put that as my number three.
You were kind of missing the rhythm on that. You only played it once, right? Stationfall.
I played it once. I didn't totally miss the rhythm. I played it once. I was like, this is super fun. I got it, but I didn't feel like super compelled to play it again. I would play it again, but there are just other games I would prefer to play more that would come up.
Like, I would say Hegemony.
Really? Like, you think it's the most innovative game?
I think for what it's trying to do, I had a conversation with Dimitri today. Like, what is the better game to you? Is the better, what's the better meal to you? A Michelin star meal that's cooked with ingredients that are from all across the world, like, you know, these rare ingredients, or a Michelin star, meal that you've gotten from the ingredients at Vons? Like, which one is the more innovative? Which one is the better meal?
Such a Paul question.
Because everything is food. And so I feel like the things that Hegemony does, you know, are so refined for how, you know, that like it transcends, like it's like, you know, I don't want to say pedanticness, but like.
Isn't refinement the opposite of innovation? Like, you're making mechanics that already exist better instead of making something new.
I would say to that, like, you know, I think, I think innovation is like, you know, coming up with something new. And I think there is a point in refinement where you achieve something new.
Is it ironic that Age of Innovation is not nominated right now? I think that, like, so if I'm being told, I mean, so Hegemony felt like an innovative experience to me because I'm like, I never felt this way playing a game.
Mm-hmm. The ecosystem.
Right. But I'm like, when I actually look at what the game is, asymmetric factions, we've seen that. Mm-hmm. We've seen, you know, we've seen political games that model societies. We've seen policies or whatever. So, but I still feel like it's very innovative. So I think I may adjust it to just number two, which means it's still a very highly ranked innovative game for me. Kutna Hora, I feel like there were things in there that I feel like I've not seen before or in that way. I don't know. Something about like those computers and the guilds and the way they all operate. I don't know.
I guess my question is like, can you have an innovative game without a new innovative mechanic? Is that how you're defining it? Because I think
it's innovative.
Because like something new that you haven't seen before, like, you know, that's working too. like, I don't know what people are thinking as far as how they vote. I think the simpler way, it's like, oh, is this new? And that's innovative. Right. But I'm just saying, like, you know.
I think it doesn't feel new if it feels, if it's a mechanic I've played with times before.
So you're a person who feels that, like
the, well, the, sorry to interrupt. Hegemony does have a massive innovation, which is that, like, the innovation is that, yes, it's not new to play an asymmetric faction, but I feel like in some ways it's new to play a segment of society. Like, I feel like that vision of, like, we are all going to play a different part of this world, mm-hmm. of this, and, like, not like a fantasy society, like, we're going to take our society and we're going to play these parts of it, and together through playing the parts, we're going to, this will allow you to understand each segment a little better in a certain way, or maybe have some empathy for that segment. And that is kind of a very innovative approach to a game.
So for me, like, you know, I would say I've never played a game where I knew how to win and I actively chose not to win because, or like to play that approach because it's not what my faction would really do. Mm-hmm. I've never had an experience where I go like, oh, here's my desire to win, but here's my desire to play this correctly. And like in Hegemony, you get to this point where you go like, oh, I can just screw Ben right now. Like, you know, I'm the working class. I could cause him to get some, what's the word, legitimacy or...
Right.
And then he will go down in points. I'm so far ahead in points that I will win. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason why I would actively do anything like that to Ben in the narrative that we've created because he's helping me out.
Right.
Isn't that a problem with the game trying to simulate something real and making you, in order to engage in that simulation, not win?
But, you know, like... I suppose I would say to you, is a game's only function to cause competition, or is it, are you trying to get experience?
Shouldn't they be, if it was a good simulation, wouldn't you be motivated to do the thing that lets you win? And also, like,
well, keeps you in character? The assumption is that winning and doing the thing are the same, or in alignment. But, like, I think, like, what the game shows is, like, they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like they're like,
okay. That's an interesting point. I personally have not felt that way with the game. Mm-hmm. I felt still like I want to win.
Sure, sure.
I know. But I do think that there is innovation. There's innovation in almost like the ambition of saying like, oh, we're not going to just be like asymmetric in this abstract thing. Like we're going to see the world around us. And by us, I mean in like basically a capitalist society, mm-hmm. as game that, like, I don't know. So I think that's that there's cool. innovation there. But I think, by the way, Station Fall, to me, Station Fall, I see the innovation in it, but I actually feel like Station Fall for me falls a little bit more in the refinement category than the innovation.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I mean, Hidden Roles, we've seen Hidden Roles before. People like, you know, operating on their own mm-hmm. agendas, but the game kind of explodes it out. So, I mean, I see, it's not saying it's not point. Innovation, but like, to me, it didn't blow me away with innovation mm-hmm. when I play it. It just seemed like maximalist version of like Dead of Winter or something.
That's a good point. I was thinking of the mechanic of you not moving someone. Yeah, you moving everyone's pieces and it not being mm-hmm. clear who is who.
That's
an innovation, but maybe it is just a refinement of hidden.
Role. I mean, this is all just. This is a definition.
Yeah. And I think these are all three games are incredibly innovative. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're really just like splitting hairs now.
I want to say something about Earthborn Rangers really quickly, because I think it has one of the coolest mechanics I've seen in a number of years, which is when you take a test like you would in Arkham Horror or some other card game, you draw a thing off the deck, it has an icon on it, and then all the cards with that icon react, mm-hmm. and it feels like the environment...
attacking
you. Oh, no, not attacking you, just alive around you. Mm. Like, oh, there's two bucks, they're gonna butt heads. Or, oh, there's a buck and a doe and a wolf. Okay, the wolf's gonna try and attack, the buck's gonna defend the doe. Like, all of these sort of different things are happening, and it feels very alive. Mm. And you could just sit there and do nothing and take tests that have no effect on the game and watch the environment act around
that's
you.
That's cool.
That's really cool, yeah.
So that sounds innovative.
So, yeah, and so that's an experiential thing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I think experience should be factored into, like, you know, innovation.
All right.
Well, I love the eye roll and the
I'm not eye rolling.
I rolled nine.
No. Yeah. I was describing the particular mechanic of, like, these cards triggering.
No. I think that's great.
Which one do we think is going to win? Do we think it's going to be... I can see Earthborn Rangers winning this one.
I can see Hegemony win. I mean, Hegemony is really popular, and you guys really like it. And, yeah. You know, maybe I just am missing it, but I think there's...
Sky Team is also nominated. I don't know if Sky Team is going to be innovative.
It's interesting, because, like, I feel like I'm... Like we got the edition of Hegemony,
right?
So I feel like so I'm like, oh, is Hegemony popular? It's old hat for me.
I know.
I guess I'm not sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, Hegemony has reached the top 100 of BGG.
Oh wow,
it's like around 80 something, which is
that's you've really been clicking reviews. Again.
I kind of feel like a Hegemony influencer. okay, so. Let's go over. I'm skipping the next three categories. Let's go over to Party Game.
Party Game.
Because why not? Again, I haven't played a lot of these.
But Hollywood 1947 is on here.
Maybe that's why it was in my brain.
Oh.
I think that's probably why. So, Among Cultists, a social deduction thriller. Blob Party, which is me after a week in New York, by the way. I was like, wow, they made a game about me. Chicken. I'm sorry, Chicken, because that was an exclamation point. Dixit, Disney Edition. How Dare You, which is a game.
Sure.
I feel like we should get that game. I think I... I was just like, how dare you? Just a game night. Nekojima, Pray Another Day, spelled P-R-E-Y.
Mm.
The Same Game. That's what's called, The Same Game. Hollywood 1947, and... That's not a hat.
Oh, I have to go with the hat.
Yeah. No, that's not a hat's great.
That's the only one I've actually played.
Yeah, me too. But come on.
It was super fun. I bought it. I've got my copy under somewhere.
I kind of want to try this Among Cultists thing, but I have no idea how good it is or not. I'm just curious about it.
A social deduction thriller. Well, now I can say that Hollywood 1947 has been nominated for a prestigious Golden Geek Award, so therefore people should play it with me.
Yeah.
I'll play it.
It's a Golden Geek nominee.
Golden Geek nominee. Exciting. cool. All right. I think that's... What do you think is going to win? That's not a hat? None of these really have a lot of...
Following?
It might be That's Not a Hat, because I got it by listening to the Board Game Barrage podcast, which is a bigger podcast. A previous Golden Geek winner.
And they're very nice. They came over to our Discord to share very nice words with us once. So
yeah, they're great.
And then I played it with you once, like late at night, and I was like... My brain was dead, and I did not fare well with That's Not a Hat. It was super fun. So we're going to say That's Not a Hat. Do you want to do solo game?
Sure.
Because I know you do solo games. I don't really do solo games very much. So this is going to be a
Jordan special.
You know,
Jordan
special. It's a sad day when I'm the top solo gamer, because I barely do any solo games. I wish Matt was
Matt,
here.
Matt plays about them.
It. So the nominees are 20 Strong, Siberion, Deliverance, Earth, Halls of Hegra, Hoplomachus Victorum, Legacy of Wu, Witchcraft, Mr. President, The American Presidency, 2001 to 2020, Earthborn Rangers, and Voidfall. And I will say I've played about half of these. And my choice, even though I haven't played it, is Witchcraft. And the reason for that is that I've played Resist, which is another game with the same format from the same designers. And I love it.
That was the game you were just talking about.
I was just telling you about it. Yeah, it's really great. So Witchcraft is like the sequel to that game. But in it, you play as hidden witches, and you have a sort of secret coven, and you're trying to remain secret. You can do weak actions to stay hidden, or you can let one of your witches reveal and do something really powerful.
You actually mentioned this. You said there, because I said sounds like what's it called?
Yeah.
The Alexander Pfister game. And you were like, actually, there's a witch version. By the way, it's not called Witchcraft. It's called Witchcraft.
Okay.
Because there's an exclamation point.
The other games on here that I'd recommend checking out are Mr. President, which is an amazing simulation that takes like 15 hours to play.
I've never played it, but I've seen pictures. It's wild. It takes up the whole table.
I have a copy. I played one game of it. It's super fun. Would recommend. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time. And 20 Strong people seem to like. You can check out a video of 20 Strong on my friend Brandon's channel on YouTube, Optimal Play.
There we go.
There we go. Shout out.
I'm going to, you know what? I think thematic game. I feel like thematic game is gonna be a really good one, so I'm also gonna wait on that one. So let's. I'm gonna go to war game. Maybe. Do we care about? I mean, we care about war games, but have we played any of these? Do you have any opinions on these? I have one. Actually, no. We have one. We have one.
Bloodstones.
Bloodstones.
Also, yeah, Bloodstones and Plantagenet, which is the next in the Levian campaign series, which I've not played Plantagenet, but I've played the other Levian campaign games, and they're great.
Is well, I guess we should. To be nice, let's go through the nubs. Oh, these are all, of course, they all have the longest titles. The British Way, Counterinsurgency at the End of Empire. Downfall, Conquest of the Third Reich, 1942 to 1945. General Orders, World War II. Halls of Hegra, The Hunt, North Africa 41. People Power, Insurgency in the Philippines, 1981 to 1986. Plantagenet, Cousins War for England, 1457. I feel like I'm at the Creative Arts Emmys. Triumph, Marengo. Undaunted, Battle of Britain, Weimar, The Fight for Democracy, and Bloodstones. My choice, obviously, is Bloodstones. Because...
It was the only one you've played.
It's the only one I played, but it was super fun.
It's fun, yeah. You know, Tom just talked about Bloodstones on the Shut Up and Sit Down podcast, too. Just to name drop another podcast, and he did not like it. So our opinion of it is kind of...
Sounds like we've got a beef with Tom.
Yeah, we... Yeah, well,
sounds like we got a good old-fashioned podcast beef.
I think a lot of people don't like it. I think we're one of the only positive reviews on it out there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I like it, though. I think it's really fun. I think it's cool.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you thought it was fine. I would play it again. It's like, again, every time it's sort of been mentioned, I'm never terribly excited about it. But when we played it, and by the time I've only played it twice. But those two times... I actually had a really good time.
Like, who won last time we played? Like,
I feel like we didn't finish.
No, I won.
It was Paul.
Wow. It was you.
I will say on these nominees, I've heard great things about The British Way, Halls of Hegra, and People Power. Those are all supposed to be very, very good games.
You know what? We didn't finish the game.
We didn't finish it. We did a
projection.
No. You know what it was? We didn't finish, but you kept on saying, if we'd finished, I would have won.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It worked.
It worked. It worked. Like in my brain.
Yeah. You know, your misinformation campaign was successful.
By the way, when I was at The Complete Strategist, I took a photo of some war games that had hilarious names. There is one called Tanks But No Thanks.
Yeah, that's a winner. Great. That's already, I don't know what category, but that's already a winner.
And then next to it was a game called NATO Nukes and Nazis. The war in France and Russia. I mean, if that doesn't sum up to something, I mean, that's an experience.
All wins.
Okay, so I vote for Bloodstones. I don't know how this is.
I can only pick Bloodstones because it's the only one I've played. But I think if I'd played Plantagenet, I would have picked Plantagenet.
I think if I played Undaunted, I think Undaunted is probably.
There is a category for best board game app. Have you? I'll go through them really quickly. Capital Lux 2, Discordia, Fantasy Realms, Fleet the Dice Game, Munchkin Digital, Numsters, Power Grid Board Game, Super Mega, Lucky Box, Twilight Struggle, Red Sea, Unmatched Digital Edition. Have you guys played any of these games?
No, I didn't know there was Twilight Struggle.
Twilight Struggle, the small box version. It's like a lunchtime game.
Interesting, okay.
Twilight Struggle, Red Sea, and then they made an app, yeah.
I have downloaded Power Grid, the board game, but I haven't played it yet. So, you know, that one, this is a TBD one for us. All right. So we have Light Game of the Year, Medium Game of the Year, Heavy Game of the Year, and we also have Thematic Game of the Year. Why don't we do Light Game of the Year next?
Let's build up to it.
We're going to build up. I don't know. Do we end with Heavy Game or do we end with Thematic Game?
I think we have to end with Heavy Game.
Okay.
Oh, you want to
do Thematic? Well, let's do Light, Medium, Thematic Party. Heavy.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So, Jordan, tell us the Light Game of the Year nominees.
Yes, they are Art Society, Bonsai, Nemalia, Point City, Thunder Road Vendetta, Trailblazers, Gnar, Rebel Princess, Far Away, and That's Not a Hat.
You know, I also have not played... I've really been wanting to play Thunder Road Vendetta. And I hear Art Society is super fun.
I haven't played either of those. I love Rebel Princess. It's a great trick-taking game.
Wait, did we play that? Did I play that with you? No, I don't think I did.
Was it? Were you?
No. Nope.
It would have been with Candace, too.
I don't think I played that. I also, by the way, I really want to play Point City, which is the sort of like the next evolution of Point Salad, which is actually a really fun light game. And Point City is supposed to be a great next step. And I have not been able to play it yet, but I think it seems like a super fun one. And you play Gnar.
I like Gnar. Gnar is a fun game. You played Gnar. Like what do you think of Gnar, Paul?
Gnar is good. You know, I think if I were to pick, I think it would be Hat. And I think it'd be Hat too. Because I think Hat gets to the fun quicker. Yeah. And if you're a light game player, you get and you're here on the website, like you'll get the party gamers, and you know, so like I think it has
right.
And I think like as far as would I play Gnar again or would I play Hat? I think I play Hat.
Now Gnar, that game is about Nicole Kidman declining an offer.
You've played it.
Gnar. No, I haven't. I actually have not played Gnar. I'm really a terrible podcast host with some of these You're categories. Fine.
It's like a Splendor replacement type of game.
But yeah, we're talking about exactly. That. Exactly.
Yeah.
Rebel Princess is a really cute trick taker where you're trying to avoid taking prince cards because you're trying to avoid their proposals so that you can
sort of like Nicole Kidman declining an offer.
And Far Away is a fun game too. It's like a weird drafting game where you play eight cards and then you score them from the last played to the first played, but only the ones from right to left, but you turn everything face down. So then you just flip one up and they require other cards. So you have to like plan. It's a mind bender in a strange way.
Is it light?
It's pretty light. Yeah. Yeah. You just pick eight cards basically. So
who do you think's going to win?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think Thunder Road Vendetta might win.
Yeah. That'd be my number two.
I think that might win. Again, Art Society people have been really amped about. And I also have heard very good things about Trailblazers. But I think Thunder Road, everyone has just the best things to say about it. And I'm sad I've not been able to play it yet, but I think that that feels like something that people would want to root for too,
like,
you know?
Whenever I hear Thunder Road Vendetta, I think of like, this is the sequel, a Bruce Springsteen sequel to Thunder Road.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I saw Bruce Springsteen in concert a few weeks ago and he sang Thunder Road. And the entire time I was thinking, like, I wonder if they realize that there's a game called Thunder Road Vendetta. And I was like, I have to stop, turn off this game brand for a moment here. Okay. Medium game of the year. Did I read the last category?
No, I did.
Okay. So this one. Okay. Castles of Burgundy Special Edition. Distilled. Earth. Expeditions, Forest Shuffle, Sky Team, Ticket to Ride Legacy, Legends of the West, World Wonders, The White Castle, and Apiary.
Interesting.
Paul.
So, let me think.
Which one would be your pick? Which one do you think would be the pick? Or you can just do your pick first and we can circle back on that last question.
Like, I really like Burgundy. You know, yeah, I felt like
it's a classic.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, in playing it, you know, I played it with my wife and Matt and his wife. You know, and it was just really fun.
The new version,
yeah, and I believe so. Yeah, I hope so.
The new version,
and B was like, oh, we should get this. So I think I think Burgundy is probably my choice.
What do you think, Jordan?
For my personal choice or
personal and we'll circle back. We'll write this round is just personal choice of which one you'd pick as your favorite medium game of the year from this selection.
I think it's difficult. It might be Burgundy, although I haven't played the new edition. I just like Burgundy enough. It's kind of weird that it's nominated because it's such an old game.
Yeah.
It's just a new edition with, actually, I don't know. Are there new mechanics? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe some of the expansions are incorporated. Maybe. I'm not sure.
But other than that, I've only played Sky Team, which I liked. So I guess I'd pick Sky Team. I haven't played any of the others.
You didn't play the White Castle?
Nope.
I didn't get White Castle. Maybe no. Maybe I did.
My pick would be the White Castle.
Yeah.
But
I remember. Yeah, White Castle. I played White Castle.
Yeah, I would do the White Castle. Apiary is okay. I don't.
You never played Apiary?
Nope. Oh. I haven't played Apiary.
I thought Apiary was fun, but it was very forgettable to me. I would not. I think like Castles of Burgundy. So I haven't played the special edition, but I wouldn't vote for it only because Castles of Burgundy. It's like one of the greatest board games of all time, and you put new art on it, and it feels like, to me, it reminds me of how The Bear got nominated for Best Comedy, and like it wins, Because there was a cynical ploy at Hulu or at FX to label it as a comedy when it's not a comedy, but they know that if they label it as a comedy, no one's going to not vote for it. Everyone's going to be like, well, The Bear is such a high quality show. Of course, we have to vote for best in this category.
Just so like The Martian. The Martian also won the Oscar for best comedy or musical movie.
Or the Golden Globe, maybe.
Or the Golden Globe, maybe.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean, this is great, but it feels, I don't think it's fair.
Oh, Matt Damon did have to science the shit out of it. See, you laughed. Comedy, laughed. Hello.
I'm gonna say the White Castle. I think the White Castle really exemplifies like a mid-weight game.
That's
like
your choice.
Like a really strong, yeah. And I think the winner is going to be Earth, I think.
Okay.
That seems likely.
Earth is super popular. I missed the window on Earth.
Yeah, me too. Wait,
I didn't miss the window. I'd never had any interest.
I played Earth.
You played Earth?
With you, I think.
I haven't played Earth. So
is this where you
have dirt?
Tableau.
One of the resources is dirt.
Yeah.
It seems like a very fun game, but I was touring at that time.
I think I was bored with it. I think I feel like I played
it. I remember when it was played at another table and everyone was like, oh.
Everyone in our group seemed to be very lukewarm at best with it.
Yeah, I think White Castle is really fun. I don't know if it was that popular.
I think it was actually a fairly popular game. I don't know if it's but I think Earth is really the blockbuster here. Uh-huh. People are also really losing their minds for Ticket to Ride Legacy, which I think could be. I would be interested to play that.
If someone gets it, I'll play.
I would play the hell out of that.
Yeah. I've heard it's not that great, actually.
I would play a not great.
Sorry.
I would play a not great Legacy game with.
You'd be playing Ticket to Ride 12 times.
So?
Okay.
People are saying it's like, no, this is, well, as long as we're shouting out other podcasts, Blue Peg, Pink Peg, they were like, oh gosh, have to sit down and play Ticket to Ride, and they loved it.
Interesting.
This may sound ridiculous, but have you guys played Pandemic Legacy?
Yes.
Have you played it, Paul?
No.
Okay, great, because I haven't played it either, and I've got a copy of it sitting on my shelf.
Oh, you guys are in for a great time. That is an amazing game.
I bought my copy. This was March 2020, season one. I had some friends over and we're like, oh, this coronavirus thing is happening. Let's play Pandemic. Well, aren't we being cheeky? And we're like washing our hands a lot. We're like, we got to wash our hands because it's the coronavirus. So we played just regular Pandemic and we had such a fun time. And I was like, you know, you guys, if you want, I'll get Pandemic Legacy because I think like we can make this like a weekly thing. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. And then like shit got real. And so I had this copy.
Took the wind out of the sails.
Yeah. It feels like this is the first appropriate window to even mention Pandemic Legacy. You know, it's like for a long time, you couldn't really talk about it.
I know. So like I literally got my copy of Pandemic Legacy as like Tom Cruise was like reporting, you know, being ill with it. Like it was Tom Hanks. Yes, of course. Tom Cruise would never get sick. And it was
Ethan Hunt would never get sick.
But like, but you know, it was like it arrived. And it's just been sitting here. And like most of the world, I feel like, of board gamers has played this. So, Paul, you're recruited.
That's right. I could imagine just from the POV of your game on the shelf. I didn't do it. I'm really fun, Ben. Will you play with me?
Honestly, if you guys need a fourth, I would go through it again, not spoil anything, and not make any decisions, just to watch it play out again.
Well, okay. We'll just record it, and you can just watch it.
Well, I wouldn't do that. That would be too boring.
What was I going to say? Is there a Legacy Catan?
Probably. Coming
soon. I don't know.
Because I would play that.
There's a new Eco Catan. Yeah. It's like you have to worry about global warming.
Yeah. Okay.
That's less interesting to me.
So we're going to say Earth is going to win this one. My pick is White Castle. You guys are both picking Castles of Burgundy.
I'm picking.
I think it might be Sky Team that wins.
You think Sky Team over? Sky Team could.
It's just so popular.
It's very popular.
We'll see.
It's like so popular.
But Earth is popular too.
So it's interesting. Like these are mediums.
Yeah. Sky Team feels like a light.
Yeah. Like
I wish I could remember what I vote. Yeah. Sky Team does feel like a light.
But Burgundy seems like a light to me now. Like, but that's I'm
not if it's in the same category as Hat.
I like that we just call it Hat.
Wait, this is we're medium.
Not a hat. Yeah.
It's literally not a hat.
Like this is medium, right?
We're medium.
Yeah. So Burgundy doesn't seem medium to me.
I wish I could see my original like selections
what I nominated things for. Okay, let's. We're gonna take a detour to thematic game as our penultimate category, Jordan. This is such a Jordan category. Will you do it?
Deliverance, which by the way has been nominated repeatedly, and I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Yeah,
likewise. Okay. I'm like, is this a board game?
It's a movie.
Board game have some very intense adult moments in it.
So, Deliverance, Distilled, Thunder Road Vendetta, The Witcher, Old World, Stationfall, Earthborn Rangers, Hegemony, Voidfall, Sky Team, and Dune Imperium Uprising.
I
played a 6-player game of on Saturday.
Oh, really? Burying the lead here. How was it?
It was interesting. It was. It was. The problem is, if you're playing a 6-player Dune game and you're not playing the Gale Force 9 Dune game, what are you doing? It's sort of how I felt throughout. But everyone else was like, "This is amazing. This is so great." And everyone said, "Oh, yeah, but it's not like that game. That game has negotiations, and this game is just a team worker placement game." And I said, "Exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly right." But anyways, it was still fun. I played as the Emperor. Every worker placement is a little bit different when you're one of the two. I should explain how it works. There's two team captains, the Emperor and Paul, and then the other players are on one of their teams, and you sit every other. Mm-hmm. You do a little worker placement game. There's some small adjustments to the board. The most interesting thing is that as the Emperor or Paul, you don't have troops on the map, and whenever you would gain something that you can't gain, like troops on the map, you decide which of your allies gets it. And that's an interesting little puzzle. Anyway.
Well, all three of us have a Dune update because you played Dune Uprising 6-player.
Yes.
Paul saw Dune 2 on IMAX.
And I was going to see if you, wanted to come, except like, you know, I only had one seat available. So the IMAX was full.
Okay. No worries.
Oh, did I just out? Wait, did I just out?
No.
And I was going to say, I read more of the book.
That's great.
I read more of the book. I was going to try to make a pun about, I was going to say Duna Lipa, but I couldn't quite figure out why.
But give your little like bit.
You know, I sat in her chair last week.
Yeah.
It was a proud moment for me.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. It was a really, you know.
What do you guys think for this category?
Creases with Dua Lipa. It's a special moment.
Yes.
For me, I think the answer is very clear. For thematic game, I'm going to go with Hegemony.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's Hegemony by a country mile.
For me, it's Hegemony, and then maybe Thunder Road.
Interesting. I haven't played Thunder
Road. I heard Thunder Road is, it's something. Thunder Road seems...
Yeah, like, I think from what I've heard of it, like, it seems like you're in...
If I were to do a top three, it would be Hegemony followed by Sky Team, which I haven't even played, but just the theme is just so strong. Like, I don't have to play. I can take... Mm-hmm. Like, that theme is so amazing. And then Stationfall was my number three.
My top three were Stationfall, Earthborn, and then Hegemony.
Was that number... Like, was that descending?
Hegemony was my number three.
So, with Sky Teams, like, you know, how is it thematic to you? I'm just curious.
Because the idea of, like, I imagine just watching people play, mm-hmm. it really feels like...
Working together.
Yeah, pilot and a co-pilot. Like, you're landing a plane. Like, it seems like the actions that you're doing really immerse you in the setting of the game.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Sure, I can see it.
Which one do you guys think is going to win? I think Hegemony's going to win this one, actually.
Interesting. I'm going to go with Earthborn.
Wow. I see the lines in the sand. Paul, what do you think?
I think it's Hegemony.
Like, you think it's Hegemony?
Like, if Hegemony is popular, as I like it, I'm completely out of sync with what is popular.
I mean, it's nominated for all of these awards, so it's at least somewhat popular.
But it could just literally be Ben 80 times.
But Earthborn is also nominated for these things. Yeah. I think that Hegemony may just have a slight lead on the breadth of people who've been able to play it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I was just thinking about how many people have played these games.
Right.
I feel like Hegemony has more. And it might just come down to that. Like,
by the way, let's not overlook Dune Imperium.
Yeah.
I mean, people love regular Dune Imperium. And I would actually not be surprised if there are people who've never played Dune Imperium Uprising who still would vote that as number one just because they know Dune Imperium mm-hmm. and they're like,
This you know, is, that's a very good point. That will probably win, even though I really think it doesn't deserve it. Because yeah. it's a worker placement game that's very fun, but it's not.
It's a setting that's popular. There's a movie that is actively in theaters that Paul just watched a few days ago. Like, that probably will win.
It was full. The theater was full.
People love like, Dune.
In that claustrophobic, illegally dark theater.
Yeah. You know who loves Dune?
Mike Hanek.
I was going to say Dua Lipa, but that's okay.
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa. Okay, so we made our... Okay, now here we go. Is. Our final... Okay, this is the big one. Now, this is the category where I feel like my experience is shining. I played 8 out of these 10 games.
Oh,
well, yes. I have played all 10.
Whoa!
I played one.
That's not true.
I don't know what you...
Okay, Jordan. Read the nominations.
And the nominees are Age of Innovation, Voidfall, Nucleum, Kutna Ora, Great Western Trail New Zealand, Dune Imperium Uprising, Darwin's Journey, Hegemony, Scholars of the South Tigris, and Evacuation.
Oh, wow. I played 9.
Yeah.
Which one haven't you played?
Let me see.
These are not my final rankings. I was just thinking about them.
Great Western Trail.
Great Western Trail.
I chose not to.
I'm not a Great Western Trail person.
But you played Scholars of the South Tigris?
And that was Elder, as an Elder game?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's one you haven't played, I assume?
I have not played that, nor have I played Dune Imperium Uprising.
Okay, fair enough. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
But I thought Scholars is relatively new compared to, like, Elder has been really into... I guess he's been into Scholars, but he's been into the other one, Wayfarers of the South Tigris.
Maybe I'm confusing.
Oh, maybe I'm confusing. Maybe I've only played Wayfarers.
Honestly,
you know what? Now that I think about it, I think I've only played Wayfarers and I haven't played Scholars.
So maybe I haven't played Scholars.
I don't know. But Scholars has been out for a little bit. Like, it's definitely come to the, like, it's definitely, I've seen it on the table.
I haven't played this. Here's the board.
Oh, no, I have.
So anyway, just reiterating, really nominate. Vote for us for best podcast of the year. What's Deliverance? Have we played that game?
Oh my gosh.
My choice is Boo. What was it called? Boop.
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 Or Blobs. What was it? Blob.
Blob.
Blobs. 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 Paul, so what is your choice? I mean, I think we all know, but like... What is your choice for heavy game of the year?
I'm going to go with Age of Innovation.
Of course.
I would say Hegemony, although I think for me, Age of Innovation is... I would play that more often.
I feel like Age of Innovation is your Ice Storm.
Ice Storm? Like, as in like the Ang Lee movie?
Yeah. It's this movie... It's like a great movie that like it came out years before Jordan was born.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
And you know,
it's PG, PJ, pre-Jordan.
Pre-Jordan. Came out in 1997. And it was very well reviewed and yet didn't really get any nominations. I only got a single Oscar nomination, which was a huge, like to me, that was my favorite movie of that year.
And poor Ang Lee.
Poor Ang Lee. I met Ang Lee once. He came to my college and he came to my class and we got, and I asked him about the Ice Storm and he said that was like his favorite movie that he had done, at least at that time. Sure. And I was like, yes, nailed it. I knew I loved Ang Lee's favorite movie. But that's why I feel like Age of Innovation is for you. Like this great movie that like, it gets this one nomination here.
Like for me, like I feel like Age of Innovation is that game where everyone goes like, yeah, obviously this is the best game. Will you play it? No. Never. There's just so many other games that aren't as good. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I want to play more Age of Innovation.
You say that.
I know, but I really do. I really want to. It's my choice, too. It's my number one game of the year.
Is it?
Really?
100%. It's not even close. Where's that game? It's not even close. You're joking, right?
No, Voidfall's on this list, right?
Yeah, I think Age of Innovation's way better than Voidfall.
I can't tell if you're joking.
No,
right?
I'm 100% serious. No, I'm not. It's actually my game of the year. It's the best game. Why don't you guys believe me?
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at this is my experience at the Game Brain table. What are you guys like? Age of Innovation? Chirp, 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 chirp.
I want to play more Age of Innovation. I think it's, I mean, it's just a classic system that's been, you know, refined to the point of perfection.
And to be fair, like, Jordan will actually play with me when I say it. Yeah. I'll play it.
You know, Age of Innovation, I've only played it twice. The first time I played it, I was like, this is my favorite of all these types of games. Like, I loved it. And then I yet was not, did not feel compelled to go back to it. And then we played it another time. And I was like, this is so fun. And for some reason, I'm never compelled. You guys just have to force me to play it because I've enjoyed it both times greatly.
Like, I will say Age of Innovation, the thing about it, it's work.
It is work. And there's like a, you know what, I think with all these games, there's just a sense that like you guys have played them more than me. And so there's like a sense of like what you should and shouldn't do, even though you don't even say it. I just, it may be something in my head, but I feel it. And so then I kind of always feel like I'm trying to play catch up with everyone. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, obviously my choice is Hegemony.
Yeah.
Like no surprise there. Here's one of my surprises just looking at this ballot. Nucleum nominated. This was the only nomination for Nucleum, I think. And it feels like Nucleum was such a big game, such a big release, and yet it only got one nomination.
It kind of makes sense, though, because what other category does it go in? It's not super innovative.
Party
it's
games.
Not it's not super thematic. Innovative. It's not it does not have good
artwork.
Is it a
podcast? No.
So, interestingly, no. I'm probably the person who is like least Nucleum in our group. I'm like, huh, this is exactly
That's going to change. You know why?
Australia.
And it's on its way.
And
it's arriving
gonna,
the end of this week.
It's going to be you, me, and Candace on the podcast.
Yeah, because we have to have our Australia
trilogy.
Trilogy.
Oh, there you go.
But it's, you know, like everything you said about, like, you know, innovation, like, it has nothing to me that's innovative. And it doesn't come together in a way that's innovative. And yeah. I just feel like everyone likes it. I'm going like, I'm the crazy person.
I feel like the action tiles are a little innovative, but not super innovative. You know,
sure.
But I like it. I think it comes together well.
I'm the oddball.
I've only played Nucleum. I missed the Nucleum window. Mm-hmm. I played it once, two player, and I really enjoyed it, two player. But I've been wanting to play like a proper full game, and so I've been sort of like low key wanting to play it for the past several weeks. But then there's always just like, it's Cult of the New, et cetera, et cetera. But I think I put Nucleum as my number four. Mm-hmm. I put Evacuation as my number two. Evacuation
is great.
I think is great. Kutnahora, I think is great. I mean, this also, by the way, to me shows a little bit like our podcast, we do focus on heavy games. Yeah. And there's a whole world of games outside of what we tend to focus on.
In my mind, Evacuation is not a heavy game to me. In my mind, like, you know, like where I place games as far as difficulty, I go like, this is, it's a good medium game. I understand why it's heavy. I'm just saying like this is where our podcast skews.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Evacuation rules wise is actually not too heavy.
Yeah.
I think that the strategy and the execution, the playing of it is like really deep and chunky and like it really, it's a real brain burner. So I think that's what gets it heavy. But also considering that Sky Team is ranked as a medium game.
Yeah. I was surprised that Sky Team wasn't on heavy. You know.
Okay.
It's been on every other list.
Okay. But now what do we think is going to win heavy game of the year? Dune Imperium Uprising. Wait, wasn't Dune Imperium Uprising just nominated for
medium? No, that was thematic.
Thematic.
But yeah, I think Dune Imperium should be in the medium camp.
Yeah, that's surprising. That shouldn't be.
But I feel like Kutnahora and Dune and Evacuation are all about the same weight.
In my opinion. Dune? Yeah, I mean, maybe. But what do you guys think? What do you think could win this? Do you think it's going to be... It could be Hegemony. This could be Great Western Trail, New Zealand, maybe?
It might be Age of Innovation only because people who like that game want to give it some recognition and it's not nominated anywhere else.
I think it's going to be Dune.
I think it's going to be Dune.
I think because Dune should not be in here in the first place. It should be in medium.
I think there are going to be a bunch of people who haven't played these games and they go, well, I need to fill in something. I played Dune. Click, click. I think the heavy games, like, I don't know what percentage people who play games are heavy gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like once again, our bubble is a bubble. So, like, I assume that people play less heavy games than us in general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't know. It's kind of interesting because are those people voting in the BGG?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because I do know that like we had, I think maybe last year we did like a top 10 of the year or something like that. We posted it somewhere And someone wrote this really like angry comment that was like, how the hell are these the top 10 games of the year, game of the years? I've never even heard of these games before. And to us, it was like, these were like, oh my God, these were like the games.
Bread and butters.
But it was just like,
yeah,
there's, you know, we all kind of have our, like, our game groups sort of focus on different things. Like, there's this game, Pest, that's out right now. Mm-hmm. My friend backed it. It came this big box, Pest. And I was like, Pest?
Exclamation point or no exclamation point?
No, sounds like a question mark right now.
It's not like Witchcraft. It's just Pest. Just Pest. Uh-huh. And I was like, what the hell is Pest? I've never even seen this. Because there's like a whole world of these like big box Kickstarters. Sure, you know?
Yeah.
But since then, I've seen it. I've started to see it everywhere. I saw it at The Complete Strategist. Mm-hmm. I've seen it around. And this, it's a whole game called Pest. This whole big ass game that not even on my radar.
Yeah, like Deliverance, apparently.
Deliverance.
Yeah, right? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. What's Deliverance? What is Deliverance?
I'll tell you what Deliverance. Not heavy. Yeah. Didn't make the heavy list.
It's also not a family film.
Yeah. But like, I'm going with, you know, just safe bet, and I'll say Dune.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair. I hope Age of Innovation wins.
Hey, me too.
I also think there's a not impossible chance that Nucleum could win it. Because it was a big game last year.
Okay.
Nucleum could. And Hegemony might do it because Hegemony has a lot of boosters. But there are a lot of people who, there's a lot of like ink that's spilled that's like, I don't like Hegemony, you know? So like, I don't get it. Like, I see what it's trying to do. I don't like it. So that was not my Jordan impersonation.
No, it's fine.
But there are a lot of people that are writing that.
I want to play more Hegemony. Truly. Because I know you guys love it. I'd rather play Age of Innovation. But you guys love it so much, I feel like I need to give it a second chance.
I do love, like, you know, the reaction where you go like, yeah, my favorite is Age of Innovation. And Ben's like, what? Like, and there's just like this shrug, defeated shrug. Like, yeah, what do you expect?
I mean, it's the best. It's Voidfall was my number two. But like Age of Innovation,
I just feel like you're such a Voidfall champion that I just assumed it was going to be your number one. But, you know.
But like the reason why I laugh is because like, the way he goes, like, Age of, the same way he plays Age of Innovation.
Actually, though,
the shrug, like,
you know what, though? It actually reminds when we did our top 10 of the year, and I recorded with Tom and Matt and Trey, and Tom put Hegemony as his number one game of the year. I was shocked.
Sure.
I was like, really? What, Tom? And he was like, yeah, no, it was my number. I thought for sure it was not going to be his number one. And so, you know.
I only played Hegemony like twice. Yeah, so no. I really need to give it.
I mean, again, you know, Hegemony, to go back to the Twilight Imperium thing, to me, Hegemony is in that space. There have been a lot of people who said, like, I see what it's trying to do and like respect it, admire it, but the actual things I'm doing to play the game are not that thrilling to me. And I fully get that. Like, but for me, that's the fun of Hegemony is not in those things. The fun is really in the interaction and the discussion and the memory making. And to me, that's a game where like the theme is so strong that any shortcomings with mechanics like, to me are totally forgivable. Like
my first real memory of Elder as a game player, as persona, is with Hegemony, where he had to play the capitalist and he was just buying yachts and islands, and it was just so hilarious.
That was a significant thing because Elder, to anyone who listens to the podcast, Elder is super chill, super laid back. You talk to Elder, you're like, hey, what's going on, Elder? He's like, just chilling, man. And so, like, yeah, he's just always like that. You play games, like, yeah, I'm just gonna do this move. And so then to have him playing Hegemony, where he's like, hey man, I gotta lay you off. You're too expensive. Like,
that's great.
Like you're like I gotta make some money here, and you're and like, I can't like, pay your wages.
Did Elder like it?
Yeah,
I gotta close this hospital.
It was like Elder as this like chill capitalist monster, and it was amazing. It totally so brought out a facet of his personality we had not seen yet.
Because Elder, I played like Imperial Steam with him and like other economic games, and he did not like them, but he liked Hegemony. That's like,
because it was, again, it was more the banter was so strong in that game.
Great. And it's a role thing. You know, it's you know, like you're playing a real role as opposed to like just, you know, like a role in an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was like, when I think of my games of Hegemony, I think of like these moments that are like Twilight Imperium or these big moments where you go like, oh, I'm going to remember this. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to remember this. And but that's what I'm going for. And even, you know, like even that point where I realize like, oh, I'm not going to play this. I can't play this to win, to play it, quote unquote, right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it that's irrelevant because the game, you know, the last 3 hours was already the payment.
Yeah. Like some games to me are like, this game is really all about the theme. Like the theme is like, it's shining star, and that's what's gonna like carry this experience through. And some games are all about the mechanic, like, oh, these mechanics are so sweet, so even though the theme feels pasted on, it's like the mechanics are so beautiful, like let's do it. So like this one for me falls into like this theme is just like doing everything for
a,
me
a similar but not quite as beautifully executed would be The Cost, because when we first played The Cost and we're like, oh, here we are just killing these asbestos workers. And it's dark, but like it was just a very different experience to know that, like, oh, this is what you're doing. No, you're not sugarcoating it at all.
The cost, by the way, much better in person than it was on TTS. Much better.
Yeah,
that's one I never got to try.
I've got a copy of it. It's not one that's easy to get to the table, and it's an imperfect game.
Sure,
it strives to be somewhere between like a splatter or like a brass or like just one of these shared incentive economic games. It's imperfect, but it's actually really good.
Yeah,
like, it's a really good one.
Yeah, it's like I remember the moments.
I think it's actually kind of a special game.
Yeah,
okay. in like the decision to say we are going to explore asbestos mining.
It's beautiful in the sense like, okay, you could do it the safe, like, you know, non dangerous way, or they could die. Sorry.
All right, let's plan to play that, and let's revisit Hegemony. I want to give it another try.
Yeah, and we'll revisit Age of Innovation. or as Paul
we'll do that
say,
first. Age of Innovation.
But and apparently,
wait,
I'd
like Nucleum to be thrown in there because I've only played it once.
Okay, sure.
And somewhere in there, we're going to do Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah,
Pandemic Legacy, and I feel like there was another game. And then also the Salton Sea, and also El Burro. Also, 1930 Golden Age of Airlines. Also,
Hollywood.
And we have to do all of this before ARX arrives. Because once ARX arrives, it's just ARX.
When is ARX arriving?
I don't know. Two or 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the. I think it's on the.
Existential boats. Presence.
It's I think it's on the boats. Someday.
It's on. It's gonna happen. Well, lots of games.
My thought is like, you know, we have to do this before you go to Sweden and Europe. Geez.
By the way, I'm going to Europe. And I am going to do a few days in Germany, and my friend is going to take me to a board game shop in Cologne.
Ooh.
That is apparently one of the best, if not the best, board game shop in all of Germany.
Wow, so here's that's the question exciting.
I have for you. What bag will you be bringing?
Well, actually, there's also a part of me that's like, what game would I get?
Sure.
Like, I have to start, actually, there's part of me that almost doesn't, I almost want to like, stop myself from buying any games, because then I don't want to get there and be like, this game's amazing, but I have that game already, because you kind of want to go and buy a game.
Yeah, totally.
But then luggage could be an issue.
No, you just get a suitcase empty and just like, you know, put $1,000 with it.
Just go there, bring your iPad, go to the game store, and then buy the apps at the store.
I'm going to come back a bit. Guys, I found a copy of Blob Party. All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this BGG Golden Geek nomination roundup.
Game Brain After Dark.
Game Brain After Dark. It is now after midnight. So you've been listening to Game Brain, produced and edited by Matthew Robinson, Tom Donnelly, Trails Up, and Ben Mandelker. Special thanks to Daedalus for our incredible music. More on Daedalus at GameBrainPod.com. And thanks to Edamar Peleg for our incredible graphics. Be sure to check him out on Instagram at Kerbaloni or on his website, kerbaloni.com. You can reach us by email at contact@gamebrainpod.com. Thanks for listening, and go play some games with friends, or make some friends with games.
Ow. Boo! Wow, new boo.